the end of a Joseph story, and I added the part of Moses because I wanted you to know that Joseph's final wish was to go home, and he certainly got to do that. It wasn't who he thought would take him, but Moses took him with him. So I want to, since we're at the end, I want to go back to the beginning of the Joseph epic, as we call it, and we remember that Joseph had a dream, right? He actually had two dreams, didn't he? In the first dream, there were sheaves of grain, and the grain sheaves did what? They stood up and they all bowed down to Joseph, right? And then he had another dream, and he saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, and they were all doing what? Bowing down to him. What a dream, right? But it's been my observation that, you know, Joseph isn't the only one that has dreams, you know? All children, I think, dream of a future that's just filled with promise. You know, each child comes to the world with something really big that they want to do, you know, a soul that's just ready to shine, that has a dream hidden in it. But I've also noticed that somewhere along the way, this God-given dream, this God-given seem self that we cherish, right? Something happens, and we begin to put up walls, don't we? And to guard what we say, and we guard what we do, you know? And we hide that dream, or those dreams that God gave us of a fulfilled life, you know? And what I found as I've gotten older, and you may find that this is true for some of you, right? That at a time when our hearts should be opening and we should be there to do whatever it is God is calling us, we shut our hearts down again, you know? And at some point along in life, we just decided, well, I'm just never going to accomplish that dream. I might as well just do something else. And the dream just kind of goes away. I think there's a reason for that. At least for me, I've noticed when God steps into the dream and says, here's your dream, I get terrified. I get, like, fear comes up all over me like crazy, you know? But then I've also found that the fear kind of points the way of the heart. If you know what I mean, you know that fear points where we must go, but we don't want to go there. You see, so when we say, God, I can't do this. I'm afraid to do this. There's no way it's going to work. Don't make me do that. Then what we're really feeling is this dream inside of us that wants to be awakened. But what do most of us do when that dream comes up? Tell me, what do? We hide it, don't we? We say, no, I don't want to do it. Let's quit dreaming. Let's don't believe that anymore. And what we don't realize, what I didn't realize, is it's a whole lot more painful to ignore the dream than to follow God's dream for our lives. And I can tell you from experience, you know, because what I also found out is when you are going after God's dream, when you're chasing that dream, it'll break your heart. It'll absolutely break your heart. I know Doug's got his heart recently broken beginning to chase a dream that's in him. And I found that, you know, it's not just once. It's multiple times that you can expect the pain to be there, that your heart will break because the dream is so big. The only way a real God dream can come to fruition is when your heart is totally broken open and God comes through, you know? But what happens so many times is that when that dream comes forward, I start getting really anxious about it, and then I get really fearful about it, and then I start feeling overwhelmed and saying I can't get it. That's what I call being stuck. And I found a little video that kind of reminded me of what it's like when I am stuck. I think Robin's going to play that for us. Maybe. I have to think, and I know you can't read this very well. Joseph got stuck, in a sense, in many different places, didn't he? You know, he's born, he has these great big dreams, and then he goes to the pits, and he's in slavery, and he's probably stuck there because, you know, he's probably thinking, I'm never getting out of this place, right? Then he gets a little hope, and then he goes back to prison, and he's stuck there again saying, oh gosh, I guess this is where I'm going to stay. And then he gets to do the dream, and he goes up to the top, right? He has his dream fulfilled. But did you notice that he doesn't dream after that at all? Totally quits dreaming, right? Because I think he's accomplished. He's got everything he needs. Why should he dream anymore? So that's why I think when he's heading on the downhill slope until his father dies, and he kind of stays there, right? He's no longer dreaming God's dreams anymore, you know? And I look at my life, and I can almost look at this diagram and tell you exactly each spot I was at when I got stuck. You know, we dream these big dreams in childhood, right? And then somebody says, you can't be that. Stuck. I'll just be what I guess they'll say I can be, right? Because as a kid, how do you know, right? And then you dream these big dreams through college, and then life hits you in the face, like, got to get a job, got to pay rent. Who has time to think about what they really want to do in life? And you quit dreaming, right? And then maybe, oh, we're getting married. Who doesn't have big dreams when they get married about what life's going to be like, right? It may be totally untrue, but we have these really big dreams, you know? But soon, what happens? You have kids, you're raising kids, you're trying to get a household going, stuck, not thinking about the dreams anymore. And then sometimes our children get older, and when they do, we start to dream again. We think, oh, maybe I could do something else now that the financial strain is a little bit off. I'm still waiting for that. We'll begin to dream again. They'll think, well, maybe I'll go back to college. I can be that teacher that I always wanted to be, or a therapist, whatever it might be, you know? And some believe it's strong enough that they go and they do it, don't they? And others just can't seem to move past where they are. They're stuck. And then comes retirement, and then you often see exactly what happened to Joseph. And yes, I am speaking to the people in here. We quit dreaming God's big dreams. Nah, we're too old. Let the younger generation have their dreams. I think there's two aspects to being stuck in life. There is what I call a stuck but not yet. That's when you're dreaming these big dreams, you're ready for something to happen, and nothing does. The anxiety comes up, right? For me, I start trying to do things to force it to happen, and God keeps slamming that door and slamming that door. It really makes me mad. I can tell you that, right? But then I have to think that doesn't mean my dream's not over, and it doesn't mean your dream's not over yet, because sometimes God says, not yet. That's a kind of stuck. And the key to feeling and knowing what to do at that point is the fact that you're not really stuck. You're being prepared for whatever God is going to bring to you. And I think that happened with Joseph when he was in jail both times, right? The second type of stuck, I think, is our interpretation of what we really truly believe that we're capable of, right? We begin to say things like, yeah, that's a great dream, God, but I'm too old, and who'd want to try to do that with me, you know, or I don't have enough education, or God doesn't want me to do this, or things would be different in my life, right? I mean, God would give me some hints that way, right? But you know what? That's our assumption, you know, because assumptions are just that. They're assumptions of what we're capable of, and it's not true, because we know that everything is possible through who? Through God, right? Or through Christ that we believe in, right? And, you know, life changes, so can we. You got a TV? Life changed. You got a DVD? You got a cell phone? Life changes. We can adapt, and we can do more. The truth is that God gives you the power to move forward to through whatever it is that that dream is calling you to do. But it's us who says, no, we don't. You know, we're the ones that deny it. We can be so full of fear about the future that we are no longer willing to take a risk on that dream. We are no longer willing to step out in faith. What we go to is regrets in life. We have the pain of that, and God's life isn't about what we get, it's what we give. But we forget that, don't we? God has a dream for your life. God has a dream for my life. God has a dream for this church. If we look at Joseph's stories, what if Joseph had quit dreaming when he was sitting in that pit where his brothers have given him? What if he simply said, I'll just sit here and die? That's what I'm going to do. But he didn't, did he? He kept on dreaming. What if he had stopped dreaming when he was put in prison by Potiphar. He could have said, well, I guess I'll just be a prisoner the rest of my life, right? He could have said, that's my lot in life. You know, I have no idea how to interpret dreams. Figure it out for yourself what those dreams mean. He could have done that, right? You know, what about when he was in charge and his brothers came? He could have said, I'm not feeding them. He could have said, I'll let them starve. But he didn't, did he? He continued to chase that dream until millions and millions of people were fed and didn't starve, because that was God's dream for him, right? The places that he had troubles were simply hills that he was climbing on the way to accomplish that dream that God had given him, right? And God never gave up. God saw to it that millions of people were taken care of. And you know, God hasn't given up on your dream either. You might have. I find times in my life when I've given up, I'll say, God, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Nobody's ever said that. That's just me, right? But that's not true. God hasn't given up on my dream. And God will fulfill that dream somehow, even without me, which is really sad, isn't it? Stand in front of God and said, and God says, well, I gave you this dream. This is what you could have done. And we have to say, I was too scared. I couldn't do it. I didn't have enough. God said, I gave you everything. You could have done it. You know? God hasn't given up on the dream of this church either. Sometimes we forget that churches have dreams too. We're actually supposed to be the place that people meet Jesus. What a wonderful dream to have. We're actually the place that's supposed to be of love and hospitality. Have we given up on that dream here? And you know what the worst part is? When I was thinking about this with Joseph and everybody else, when we give up our dreams, it affects our children as well. You see, because it's not all about us. When we fail to dream, the children are affected. And some of us, I think, as baby boomers, well, I think the entire generation, by the way, has forgot what it means to dream. And I am talking to baby boomers here. There's a few of us here. You know, we were the generation that marched and cheered on Martin Luther King Jr., right? Has that dream been achieved yet? I don't think so. We fought for women's rights. We protested the Vietnam War, saying it was wrong. Some of us marched off to war, continued to go off to war, because we wanted to make this world a far safer place, right? We were the flower children. We were the nonviolent generation. What happened to that dream? Is that where we are today? If we look at our world, I don't think so. That was a big God dream, and we just quit dreaming. And we look at the world, and we look at what's coming for the coming generations, and we say, well, I wish it could be different. But maybe God put that dream on us for us to make it different. Somehow along the way, we quit dreaming. But people are suffering because we're too afraid to continue to dream. We think we're too old. But through the power of God, we, yes, the baby boomer generation, all of us here, we can change the world if we'll just believe, if we just dream. You see, because the children of the future, they're already bitten by those snakes of the past. They've got violence, greed, the have-nots, the lack of concern about neighbors, ruining the environment, global. That's what we've given them. We've helped them hide the dream that was given to us to a better future by telling them that there are other things that are much more important that they work on, like making a lot of money or a name for yourself, right? Taking care of yourself, being self-sufficient, all those things. But here's what I really believe, that we as Christians, as believers, we need to start dreaming again for the sake of the world. If we don't dream these big dreams about how the world could be and start working for them, then neither will our children. And neither will the children's children. Back to that sins of the Father. So I ask you, can you, like Joseph, can you face those painful issues in our world? Can you put aside that anxiety that says, I can't do anything about it? And can you follow that dream that was put in the heart and soul of every person here and dream a big God dream? Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Joseph are not the only ones that had a dream. God has a dream for you. Open your heart. Let it live.